I preached again this morning, my introduction to the message. Tonight I'll give you the message. I don't know why I do that. The Lord gets me going, and then I look at the clock and I say, whoa, it's time to wrap it up, and we just finish it at night. I know some people don't like that. I've had complaints in the past about that. Why don't you finish your message? Because we can't make it back. Well, you know, you got to come back to get the rest of the message. What can I say? I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. I'll finish the message, but you're going to be here till 1:30. I mean, some of you wouldn't care, but some of you would say, oh, I can't wait. I can't be here that long. I can't sit it that long. I get nervous and I can't sit. Okay. I mean, I have the notes. I have the message. I can just keep on going. But I try to be, you know, I'm trying to think of your time and all of that. So I just finish it Sunday night. You love it, huh? All right. Okay. Let's read again Psalm 29. I'm going to read. Let's stand again, please. I'm going to read Psalm 29. And you just follow along as I read. And I'm going to finish. Get into the message. I told you there's 3 points to the message. And I gave you all the introduction this morning. So if you missed this morning, I'm sorry. But I'm not going to go back and re-preach the whole introduction. I'm going to get right into the 3 points and get you out of here by 7-something. All right, Psalm 29, it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. I said, I think that's lightning the way he's wording this. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you bless the word as it goes forth now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I said this morning there's 3 things that we're going to look at. When I read this psalm, it always amazes me that the voice of the Lord is mentioned 7 times there in those verses. And we went over this morning, we talked about 1 Kings chapter 19, in verse 12, it talks about that still small voice. The thrust of the message this morning was we just need to listen to that still small voice of God. Remember, God wasn't in the wind, God wasn't in the earthquake, God wasn't in the fire, and where God was in that still small voice to Elijah. And that's what God was trying to get across to Elijah. You just did a real big thing. You had a great victory on Mount Carmel. And now he's living in a cave and he's sulking and he's wanting to die because Jezebel said, you're going to die within the next 24 hours. And God comes along and says, you know, Elijah, why? What doest thou? What are you doing here? What? Get up. Get out there. Stand. Make a stand. Get out on the side of that mountain. And God, of course, revealed himself to Elijah, but in a whole different way than Elijah was, I think, expecting. That still small voice is what we need in our own personal life. And I said, well, you get that when you read your Bible. You get that when you pray. You can hear that still small voice, and that's the way God communicates with us. I just want to give you these 3 things. First of all, we see the power of his voice. That's number one, the power of his voice. Throughout this psalm, Psalm 29, we see that there's power of God. In verse 4, the voice of the Lord is what? Powerful. Look at that. Look at that. I mean, just the voice of the Lord is powerful. We said this morning about creation. How, and God said 10 times in Genesis chapter 1, 10 times. And God said, 3 words. And God said 10 times in Genesis chapter 1, and God created everything because he spoke it. The voice of the Lord is that powerful. to speak the worlds into being, to speak the universe into being, to speak all of the billions and trillions, I guess, of the stars that are out there. God just spoke them and it was there. God just spoke the water and it was there. I mean, for the last 6,000 years, we've been drinking, I said this before, we drink 6,000-year-old water every time you take a sip. That same water that God created on day one, the same water that God created, is the same water we're drinking today. It just goes through that hydrologic cycle. That's what it does. It just goes up and comes down, up, comes down, goes in the ground, comes up, we drink. Same water. It's just filtered and filtered and filtered. Aren't you glad for that? Does it taste a little old once in a while? Huh, this water tastes like it's 6,000 years old. No, you don't notice. You don't know that. You don't think that way, do we? Now, you might now, after I said it, you might, in the next glass of water, 6,000-year-old water. I don't know about that, but it is. I mean, even bottled water. You know how old this water is? This was just bottled not long ago for the Walmart store. It's purified water, calcium chloride, sodium bicarbonate distributed by Walmart. This is 6,000 years old. So when you take a sip of water next time, just think, I'm drinking 6,000-year-old water. But keep drinking because you need the water. Don't stop drinking the water because it's old. You would never know that it's that old. But throughout this entire psalm, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord in verse 4 is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. The voice of the Lord, verse 7, divideth the flames of fire. I think that's lightning. And God created lightning and thunder as a result of when that lightning just expands the air around it. It causes an amazing boom. And that's what we hear when it lightnings. The sound of that thunder from the lightning. And I said this morning, the lightning is four times hotter than the surface of the sun. That's how hot lightning is, 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The surface of the sun is around between 10 and 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So a lightning bolt is pretty powerful. And David, the psalm writer, actually mentions that and how the voice of God can divide the flames of fire. The voice of God shaketh the wilderness. And so the voice of God, there's power in the voice of God. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at some verses on this. Now remember, I said this morning also, that when we talk about the voice of the Lord, it's the voice of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 8, and there's a lot of verses, but we don't have time to look at them all. We'll just look at a few. Matthew chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. They're in a boat. A storm came down off the side of the mountains around the Sea of Galilee. Disciples were scared to death. They thought they were going to sink. They thought they were going to drown. Jesus is just, he's asleep. There in verse 24, covered with the waves are crashing in, but Jesus is just asleep in the ship. How could he sleep during this? Because he knew that it wasn't going to. If the boat went down, I mean, would Jesus drown and die? Oh, I mean, he knew that. The disciples should have known that. But in verse 25, his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. We're going to die. We're going to drown. And he saith unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And what? There was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? How could the wind and the sea obey Jesus? He created them. He made them. But his very voice, all he said, he made that little statement there. He just rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was the calmest they probably have ever experienced on the Sea of Galilee. That's the power of the voice of God. He can do anything he wants. Look at Matthew 9, just across the page in my Bible, verses 1 and 2. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And you know the rest of the story. They thought he was blaspheming God, but because he's forgiving the sins, he's dealing with the spiritual problem with this man before the physical problem of this man. The man had a physical infirmity. Obviously, he couldn't. He was paralyzed. He was probably shaking. He probably, I've heard some experts say that he probably was suffering from Parkinson's disease, and the man couldn't walk. He couldn't do anything. And so they bring him there. That's what the palsy is all about. It's just a paralysis in a bed. And, of course, he deals with the man's sin problem first. And then, after that, he heals the man, but he does it all by his words. He just speaks, and the man is healed. How many times did Jesus heal somebody because of that? Just his words. All he had to do was say something, and the person was healed. Matthew 9, verse 22. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, this is the woman, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Why? Because of what he said. Just because of what he spoke, the word, and she was healed. Same chapter, verses 27 through 31. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. He just spoke some words, and these blind men could see just by the power of his voice. Matthew 14, verse 19. 14:19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat. But what did he do first? He blessed the food. And just by him blessing the food was enough to supply all of the 5,000 men, but also the women and the children. Verse 21, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So how many were there that day eating this bread and this fish? Thousands and thousands and thousands. He was able to take that little bit of food and distribute it and multiply it just by his words, just by what he said. The power of his voice. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 36. Luke 4 and verse 36. Luke 4 and verse 36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? That wasn't a question, that was a statement. My Bible has an exclamation point behind that little statement. What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Just his word. You see the power that Jesus had in his voice? Throughout your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, even into the book of Acts, you see that Jesus Christ had so much power with his voice, with his words. Do you know how much power that you and I have with our words? That's why we got to be so careful what we say. We have to be so careful on how we communicate. We have to be careful as with the words that we are using in our everyday language. Now, I hope and pray there's nobody in this room that uses their tongue with blasphemy and with cursing and swearing. If you have a problem with your tongue like that, you need to get a hold of God, and God needs to get a hold of your tongue. But you know, you can destroy somebody with gossip. Gossip. talking bad about somebody. I don't care who it is or what it is. And we had a man in this church years ago. He died many years ago. But he would, if I mentioned this thing about gossip, he would come back and say, "Yeah, but I'm telling the truth." That was his excuse. "But I'm telling the truth." Well, maybe you are telling the truth, but it's still gossip. For you or anybody, for me, to go around talking about somebody is wrong. It does nothing but cause division in a family, in a church, in a business, whatever. I mean, you can destroy a person's life just by the words that you say. The word, we're talking about the words of Jesus and how powerful His voice is. But you have power in your voice also. And you got to be careful. Now, the Lord knew what He was saying every time He said it. But you and I got to be careful what we're saying. Because we can destroy a life just like that. One sentence can destroy the life of another person. A Christian. A person that you that come to church with, or a person you work with, or a family member. We have to be so careful, folks. I'm telling you, we have to be careful on what we say. The power of the voice of Jesus Christ, the seven statements that He made from the cross. I count them up in our English Bible, in our King James Bible, there's 53 words that Jesus used on the cross. Now, I don't know Hebrew or Latin or Greek and how it was translated, but I just know that in our English Bible, and that's all I really care about, is English. I don't study Hebrew. I don't study Greek. I've never studied Latin. I couldn't speak those things if I wanted to. I would have to go to language school, and I'm not going to do it. I'm still in the school of English. I'm still trying to learn how to talk English. And I don't do a very good job of that, as you probably know if you've been in this church very long. You know that I have a problem with my English. And so I'm still learning English. But I know that in our English Bible, Jesus said 53 words on the cross. That's all He said. And I said this a week or so ago as I described the crucifixion. That's about all He could speak. Because He just didn't have the wind power to speak. You've got to be able to breathe and expel wind or air in order for you to talk. You hold your breath, you don't talk. Did you ever fall? When we were kids, we'd climb trees all the time. And a few times I fell out of the tree and landed on my back a couple times. And it knocked the wind out of me. I thought I was going to die one time. I fell out of a tree just down from our house. And I'm laying there and I couldn't say a word. I couldn't breathe. I thought I was dying. You ever have your wind knocked out? I mean, you can't say a word when you're like that until you can start breathing again. Boy, when I started breathing again, what a blessing that was. Jesus could barely talk because He could barely breathe hanging there. He was dying from suffocation. It was one of the things that was going on. But He says in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, I'm just going to go through these 53 words really quick. Because remember, there's power in the voice of Jesus. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. I have these numbered in the order, supposedly, that He said them. I got this from, the studies that I've done. And I don't know how accurate it is. I think it's accurate. But I'll give you the order that I have them recorded in my Bible. I have them all listed in my Bible. That's the way I've done it in my Bible studies. But in verse 34 of Luke 23, we see the first statement that He made. There's 10 words here. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's all He said. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The second statement He made is in verse 43, same chapter, Luke. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He was speaking to the thief that was dying on next to Him. One thief, of course, we know, got saved, repented, and trusted Jesus Christ. The other one did not, apparently. And so Jesus gives the words here of verse 40. Don't you think that thief that heard those words was so grateful and thankful? Remember, he's dying too. He's hanging there dying. And he didn't have much longer to live. And he's pleading for Jesus Christ to remember him when he comes into his kingdom in verse 42. You know, the interesting thing in between verse 42 and verse 43, all I have is a period at the end of kingdom. And then it goes right into verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, it's just five words there, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." When that thief made the statement in verse 42, Jesus immediately responds to him, immediately, as far as I can tell, that you're going to be with me in paradise today. What a blessing that was to that thief. I wonder if it brought conviction to the other thief. You ever think about the other thief dying there? I mean, he was yelling, complaining. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to be there. I don't really think Jesus wanted to be there either. But he was dying for us. But that second statement, 14 words is all Jesus said. Just 14 words. "Today shalt thou be with me. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The third statement is found in the book of John. And I would encourage you to number these in your Bible so you will know what, you know, 1 through 7, or 7 statements total that Jesus made. John chapter 19, we see the third statement that he made. And I kind of lumped these together because they were right. He said it right, one right after the other. Just 7 words is what he said here. In verses 26 and 27, in John 19, 26 and 27, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son." He was not talking about himself. He was actually talking about John. Jesus was transferring his mother and his sonship over to John. "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." Jesus wanted, he entrusted his mother to John the apostle. And he just made a statement of 7 words there by giving his mother to John and asking or telling John, "You're taking care of my mother from now on." That's the third thing he said. Go back to Matthew chapter 27 and we'll look at the fourth statement that Jesus made. Matthew 27 and verse 46. Matthew 27 and verse 46. In verse 46 it says, "And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say," and this is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" 9 words is what he said. This is when he was hanging on that cross from around 12 noon to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's when the entire area went black. Darkness was upon the entire area in verse 45. Because God the Father had to turn his back from God his Son for all the sins, your sins and my sins, and the sins of the entire world, was filled in a cup that Jesus had to partake of during those 3 hours. And all Jesus could say was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" 9 words. That's the fourth statement. Go over to John again. Back to John 19. We have the fifth and the sixth statement that Jesus made from the cross. In John 19 and verse 28 and verse 30. Just 2 words in verse 28. "And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith," just 2 words, "I thirst." I can't imagine how thirsty he was. But he said, "I thirst." I thirst. I think he was not just thirsting for liquid. I think he was thirsting again for his father, the fellowship that he had lost with his father during those 3 hours. Did you ever have a spiritual thirst for God? Do you? Do you have a spiritual thirst for God? Have you ever said those two words, I thirst? And mean, not just give me some water, but I thirst for God. I thirst for the Bible. I thirst for prayer. I thirst for church. I thirst for preaching. I thirst for something spiritual. I thirst. We ought to have a thirst for the things of God. We ought to have a thirst to read God's Word. You wouldn't go a day without drinking water, I don't think. Most people don't. I don't drink enough water. Most people don't drink enough. Kathy sometimes, have you drank any water today? No, not that I can think of. Sometimes a glass here or a glass there. And it's not healthy. I should drink more water. You should drink more water. Jeffrey's back there. He's sucking something down up there. Reminding me that I need to drink water. I need to drink some more 6,000-year-old water. I know I do. But Jesus just simply said those two words. I thirst. And I think it was more of a thirst for his father's fellowship again. Because he lost it for 3 hours. Just 3 hours. I know some Christians that go days without even picking up a Bible. Days, days, days. There's probably some Christians out there that go weeks, months, maybe years without reading the Bible. You ought to be really thirsty if that's you. You ought to say those two words, just two words, I thirst. We should say that every day. I thirst for you, God. I just thirst for your word. And let me drink up the things of you from your word. Let me spend time with you, God. I thirst. And then he says there in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Just three words, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But before that, go over to Luke chapter 23. Back to Luke 23, and we'll see the seventh thing that he said. Luke 23 and verse 46. I have two outlines in my Bible about the seven things that Jesus said. I have preached that before many times around Easter, around Resurrection Sunday, around the time in which we celebrate the death of Christ. I'll bring this message of the seven sermons from the cross. I'm not doing that tonight. I'm just giving them to you. But the seventh statement that Jesus made is found in verse 46 of Luke 23. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He just commended his spirit. That means he committed to the trust of God, his Father, his Spirit, as he was literally, he died right after that statement. That's the seventh statement that Jesus made. You see the power in those 53 words? Just 53 words, the power of the voice of Christ. Not just in the creation, but in his death on the cross. There's power in that voice. Let me give you the next two points of this message. Number two is the presence of his voice. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, the presence of his voice. And we see that in verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. So often we use these verses when somebody is going through a hard time. Matthew 11, 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's an invitation given in verse 28. It's come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation really is simply, you need to come to me. You need to come to me. You need to get in this yoke next to me. Because if you've got Jesus, driving the yoke and you're next to Him, your burden is going to be a lot easier than if you're trying to do it all yourself. But so many Christians like to take the yoke upon them and go off and do it themselves. And they get wiped out. We have Christians today falling into this thing called burnout. You know why? Because you've tried to do all the work yourself without the help of God, and you will burn out. I have known preachers that have gone through burnout because they were trying to do it all by themselves. They weren't allowing God to help them. They didn't realize that when you put that yoke on, Jesus is with you with that, and He's next to you. You get two oxen plowing, it's a lot easier than one oxen plowing. You get you and Jesus in the yoke, and you can do the work a lot easier than if you're trying to do it yourself. Does that make sense? That's what Jesus said. He's saying, come unto me. You're heavy laden. You've got all this burden. You've got all of this stress. Christians today are just filled with stress. Christians today are filled with anxiety. Why? I know why. They're doing it themselves. And they're not allowing the Lord to be with them. He says, you take my yoke upon you. It doesn't say lean on me. He says learn of me. There's a learning curve that you and I need to go through. But then he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We have Christians today that just need to rest. I don't mean, oh, preacher said that I can rest on Sunday. I didn't say that. You think that way. There are people that think that way. Ah, the day of rest, Sunday, I'm just going to stay in bed all day long. Preacher said I can do that. No, 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 no. Nobody's ever said that you should do that or could do that. People think that way. But then he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you'll go with the Lord, again, that's the presence of His voice. Didn't He say that? He said those words. I think, I don't have a red letter edition, but that's the words of Jesus Christ. That's the presence of His voice. Come to me. Come unto me. And I'll help you. I'll go with you. You and I will go. We'll do this together. You can't fail when you have the Lord with you. Amen. You cannot fail at all. You won't go in a wrong direction if you got the Lord in the yoke next to you. You think He's going to lead you astray? You think He's going to take you down the road, a road of sin and unrighteousness and wickedness? Of course not. You stay with Him and you'll stay on that straight and narrow road. And you'll do fine. Your anxiety level will, whew, this is pretty good. Your burdens will be lifted. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. That's what the Lord said. You won't have all the burdens of the world and all of the stress of the world. Again, Christians are running around all stressed up. And they figure there's got to be a pill for that somewhere. you don't need to keep taking your meds, please. Don't. We got nurses here. They'll chew me out later. But you don't need a pill, per se. You just need the Lord. You just need the Word of God. Remember, there's that presence of His voice. And then third and finally, look at John 14, and we're done. John 14, verse 27. He starts off in verse 1 of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Boy, we could use that today. A lot of troubled hearts today in the world. We've got some troubled hearts in our Bible-believing churches today also. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that good? But he says down there in verse 27. Look what he says. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. There's that saying again. Neither let it be afraid. When you're trying to go through life without the peace of Christ, without the peace of God, you are going to be afraid. Life is going to be tough for you, period. But if you will get a hold of the peace of His voice and allow the peace of His voice to control you and run you and deal with you, and you're with Him because He said, I'm giving you my peace. He said those words. Didn't He say that word? You have a red letter edition? Huh? Is it there? Of course, the whole Bible should be a red letter edition. Amen? Old Testament and New Testament. But I think Jesus said that little phrase. Peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. So that is the peace of His voice. He made that statement. And Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus doesn't tell stories and then just kind of let it fall by the wayside. What He says, He means every word of it. And so we have the power of His voice, we have the presence of His voice, and we have the peace of His voice. You see the importance of the voice of God? Remember what it said in Psalm 29? The voice of the Lord, 7 times, the voice of the Lord. Elijah was just listening for a still small voice. And that still small voice can be your help tonight. Seek it. Listen for it. You don't need the wind and the earthquake and the fire. You don't need the big, you know, display of things. All you need is the still small voice of God. And He'll speak to you if you let Him. If you're listening. I think a lot of Christians today got the world just bombarding them, and they got their earbuds in, and that's all they're listening to is all this other stuff. Good night. I mean, we need to just listen to that still small voice of the Lord. And He'll speak to you, and then you have to listen. Father, thank You again for the message. Thank You for that still small voice. Thank You for the voice of God tonight. Thank You, Lord, for Your voice. I pray that You'd speak to our hearts. If there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, we pray for their salvation. But Lord, I pray that as we Christians, this message was really designed for Christians in mind. I pray, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts about the need of just listening to that still, small voice. The voice that we hear when we're reading the Bible. The voice that we hear when we're praying and talking with You. And Lord, I pray that we'd always listen for that voice. Lord, bless us tonight and bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Rich will play something. If you need to come tonight for something, you can come.